This is the UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matthew Wells. In this week's programme, Africa needs to stop its dependency on debt and find new ways to finance development. And a new treaty to combat illegal fishing is hailed as the ultimate weapon to fight the illicit trade on Africa's coasts and shorelines. But first, the security and humanitarian crisis brought on by the Boko Haram terrorist group across Africa's Lake Chad Basin has devastated the region's economy. That's according to Jeffrey Feltman, UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs, briefing the UN Security Council on Wednesday. Having just returned from a visit to the region, Mr. Feltman said that the fallout from the activities of Boko Haram, which originated in northeast Nigeria, was having a severe impact on all the countries around Lake Chad. He said the terrorist use of children as suicide bombers was particularly disturbing. In the first 6 months of the year, more than 50 children had been coerced into carrying out attacks.
Terrorists persist in targeting innocent civilians, often using young children. The Boko Haram crisis has devastated the region's economy. Economic growth has dropped sharply with the decline in the price of oil and other commodities. Decreasing resources affects the state's ability to deliver basic social services and to pay salaries of security forces and civil servants.
The political affairs chief told council members that countries including Nigeria, Niger, Chad, Benin and Cameroon had made major efforts to push back Boko Haram by creating an effective multinational joint task force. The task force has recaptured 80% of territory lost to Boko Haram, but its main challenge now was a serious lack of funding. Mr. Feltman described the frustration of regional leaders that budget for basic services were being diverted into counter-terrorism.
A military approach, while essential, will not bring to an end the Boko Haram threat. Affected countries must tackle not only the humanitarian consequences, but also the root causes that contributed to the emergence of the group, including the social, economic, and political grievances of marginalized communities. Lake Chad Basin countries need our support.
Next came UN Humanitarian Affairs Chief Stephen O'Brien, who told the council that more than 9 million needed help, with almost 3 million displaced by violence. He outlined the vast scale of the crisis.
Boundless insecurity has deepened the vulnerability of communities in this fragile region, already impacted by severe climate change, environmental degradation, including the massive drying up of the Lake Chad itself, highest population growth in the world, and our planet's most widespread, chronic and deepest extreme poverty.
Mr. O'Brien added that as a regular visitor to the region for nearly 40 years, he'd never experienced such despair and fear among the people. The heinous and barbaric assaults from Boko Haram have been particularly devastating on Nigeria's Borno state, with the country overall accounting for 7 of the 9 million in need, he said.
We have no time to lose. The lean season, which puts millions in this region at real risk of hunger and malnutrition each year across the Lake Chad Basin, has already started. If we do not act now, the human suffering will only get more extreme.
Africa should avoid debt and find new ways to finance its development, a new report by the UN Trade and Development Agency, UNCTAD, has warned. Launched in late July, the report suggests using money sent home by migrants, also known as remittances, which reached $63.8 billion in 2014. That's more than the continent's received in terms of foreign aid and direct investment, according to the author of the report, Junior Roy Davis Ediar. He sat down with Assumpta Massoi on the margins of the 14th UN Conference on Trade and Development in Nairobi, Kenya.
The report talks about how Africa can, through debt but other modalities of finance, invest sufficiently to try and achieve the sustainable development goals without creating a bigger debt problem further down the line for the continent.
In the report, remittances, for example, have been cited as one of the reliable sources of revenue for African countries. But sometimes it's not friendly. So what should African countries do to make sure that the transfer of money or those remittances from the diaspora is more friendly?
That's a really good and interesting question. I mean, in addition to discussing external debt and domestic debt in the report, we talk about complementary modalities of finance, remittances being one. Remittances to Africa in 2014 amounted to approximately $63.8 billion. That's more than the continent received in terms of ODA and more than the continent received in terms of FDI. So it's an important source of finance. However, because a lot of remittances are delivered through informal channels, countries don't necessarily harness the potential of these remittances as effectively as they could. And one of the ways in which we've proposed that this can be addressed is if banks in the home countries in Africa provide foreign exchange-based foreign currency accounts, which will encourage the diaspora to safely transfer funds without encountering any exchange rate risk. So we have to look at ways in which, as an international community, we can help bring down those costs. There are a few initiatives that are being promoted to try to help address this problem, but more still needs to be done, and more quickly. Africa remains the most expensive continent to transfer money to and within.
You said there are some initiatives that are being taken now. Can you cite some of the examples?
There is a World Bank and African Union initiative which is looking at means, mechanisms through research and actually policy collaboration in ways in which they can bring down some of these costs. And then there are pan-territorial initiatives that the AU is trying to push in partnership with the African Development Bank. And I think if we can get more progress and cooperation between the banks that are mainly involved in this business, but also increasingly telecommunications companies are involved in this business. If we could improve the regulatory environment for this, introduce more competition into the market, then we can, I think, begin to bring down some of these costs of remittance transfers.
A new treaty to combat illegal fishing has been described as the ultimate weapon to fight the issue in Africa. The Port State Measures Agreement, which is aimed specifically at tackling illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing across the world, is backed by the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO. The agreement will block improperly caught fish from being brought to land and sold in markets. Liliane Kambarigi has been speaking to Ndiaga Gueye, who is based in Ghana for FAO.
This is an extraordinary legally binding instrument that can be, let's say, the ultimate weapon for Africa to fight against this IUU fishing, illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing, because it is a blight for the modern time, and it is particularly affecting African countries who are unfortunately among the most exposed to this IUU fishing. And we do believe that it is the most cost-effective and most efficient tool to combat IUU fishing. Instead of purchasing the vessel in the high sea, we just wait them when they want to enter our port. If they cannot show evidence that they were not involved in IUU fishing, we simply deny them access of our port, not only for landing their captures, but even only for refueling. And so it will become more and more expensive for pirate vessels to enter into our port, and then the fish will be not uploaded in their port. So it's a very cost-effective and efficient way of combating IUU. And I do believe that it is in the interest of African countries to become party of this agreement. And FAO is urging all governments to do so.
I understand it's also a way to secure more fish for the people, for the population. But does the ratification secure enough means or resources to fight illegal fishing?
I would not say to secure enough means, but at least those countries who are becoming party of the agreement will certainly surely benefit from this global fund assistance which is being set up, so that they can tap on these funds to train the fish inspector to enforce the agreement in their country. But only countries who are party of this agreement can benefit from these funds. So we are really and strongly urging countries to become part. It's in their interest.
Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. You can follow more of our programmes at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matthew Wells.